ETY. That sounds like it'll be fun, and I definitely could use that, use the time. Hopefully I can get done with this edit by Friday is my goal. So, but is it going to be at your place?
It's going to be at the deer camp.
Your deer camp and not somewhere else.
Yes, we're gonna put that solar grid to the test and see what it can do. It might fail miserably. We'll see.
I bring these battery packs I have for the beauty dishes.
Thanks.
You got it.
But I got Gary one. He's got LED lights on it with different colors.
Well, that's going to be nice. Who all's going to come, can you say?
KO4HYD, KO4HYC, KO4CEF, KO4HKX, KI4DOS is going to come and help and be the experience there, and myself and anybody else that wants to come. So just, you know, want to let you know.
What time were you thinking?
Whatever's convenient for you. I'd say probably later on in the afternoon would not be a good time, but you know, I'm not sure when we're gonna get started. We're just going, you know, you never know with you know, fellowship and radios. You don't know where that's gonna end up. Well, I think we'll eventually get to a point where we can get on the air, but I'm gonna set a couple of tables up in there and take the 991 up there, and we'll go from there.
JI4LCF, one thing y'all better be careful about is keying down more than one transceiver down at the same time and blowing out the front end of one of the radio's receivers. A lot of people, when it comes to field days, have to be very, very careful about it or run some kind of filtering device so that one transceiver doesn't blow out the others. Receive. A lot of people are taking just, you know, they'll just to do certain bands, one person will do certain bands right there, and that helps alleviate it some, but that's a big thing during field days. A lot of times you don't blow out someone else's receive capability because of everybody keying down at the same time. KI4LZI.
Andy, is that based off of because everybody's so close, or is it just because everybody's trying to transmit on the same frequency?
Due to everybody so close. You do MFJ. MFJ sells filters for such stuff as that. So if you have more than one transceiver in a situation like that, so that you don't blow out one radio's receive out in it because of another one not far away. Because you got to think about it. All these dipoles aren't going to be all that, a lot of distance in between them. KI4LZI or antenna, whatever kind of antenna you use.
Right. So, Andy, tell me, is it also, let's say there's another ham operator in my neighborhood, which I'm sure somebody's close. What is the safe distance for, you know, people operating on the same frequency?
Bill's there. Well, it's also got to do with power as well. If everybody there is running 5 watts or less, odds are you won't interfere with one another. But if everybody's running 100 watts, like that, say for instance, some more, and they're not that far apart. You like to blow some, someone's radio to receive and it's like to get overloaded.
I guess that's what I'm looking for, is maybe a little bit more clarification. Not necessarily that it's going to happen to me, but, you know, what kind of distance are you looking for? Like, on my 991, I'm running 15 watts. But, you know, let's say I had a neighbor, like, you know, not even 25 feet from me, and he's also running 15 watts. Is that putting either one of us at danger without running those filters?
LZI. Well, it's not so much a danger to you as to your receiving your radio. But if you're not running much power, it has a tendency to not be as bad. But if you go in there, say running, everybody's going to run 100 watts like that. You're real close, your antennas are real close. You know, it's distance and power, both combination that has a place a part in that. And you get something wrong running, everybody's running a lot of power and their antennas are too close, someone's receiver's liable to be knocked out in the radio. You have to play it real carefully.
Makes sense. I mean, yeah, I figured at 100 watts, if you're running, you know, your power high, that would. But, and yeah, I knew what you mean, not me personally, but my radio. I just was asking for clarification, even for, like, let's say, you know, at my house, if my neighbor also had a radio and we're both, you know, pushing 15 watts, I was just asking just for knowledge, you know, what were the dangers to the radios?
JI4LZI, I don't know that Dave's still here, but, and I know Johnny DYH ain't here, but he's usually been the head of the field day event for birds for the past few years, but it's kind of a common sense type thing. You got someone here real close to you running 100 watts. Someone just down the way is running 500 watts. Someone on the other side running 6 watts. All those that's running all that high power are going to block out everybody else is receiving their radio. There's no distance between the antennas, and if you run a lot of power like some of those wattages is, it's going to knock the radio out. Now, if everybody's running 5 watts, I mean everybody in the deer camp's running 5 watts, there probably won't be that much interference. JI4LZI.
All right, well, that helps. I just was asking just for actual clarification, just for, you know, just knowledge, knowing you don't know what you don't know. But back to you, Chad.
Appreciate it, Daniel. All right, well, Andy, do you want to come? I'll come up here and get you if you want to come.
Know that I can make it for sure. I'd like to. One day I'm going to make it out to your place. One day I am, but y'all just don't get up there and blow someone's receiving someone's radio out up there. Like I said, that's very, very critical. Antenna's real close. Someone's radio to receive might get knocked out in if y'all don't, you know. That's why I was mentioning it here. A lot of times on a lot of these field day sites, they kind of set things up in such a way so that that don't happen. Because if you're not real careful, well, you got more than one antenna real close and transceiver real close, especially if you're running any power to speak of, you're going to knock someone's radio out on the receive. KI4LZI.
Are you in there, Chad?
I'm here, Roland.
What KI4LZI just said, he's 100% correct. It happened to me in Florida. on a field day. We had one radio doing sideband, we had the other one doing CW, and one of them radios was mine. I believe it was a Yaesu 990, but I'm not sure. All I know is it was expensive, and it was a very good radio. It cooked my radio. It did an unbelievable job on it. It had to go back to the factory, and I was out of radio for quite a while. K1CJW. Go ahead, Chad.
No, no, I appreciate you, y'all bringing that up. And, Roland, I'm pretty close. You want me to come by and get you, and I'll take you back whenever you're ready to go.
No, I can't because my grandkids and great-grandchildren are coming over Saturday.
I'll shoot you a little video then, so you can, if you want it, and I'll email it to you. How about that?
That would be great. I'd sure enjoy that.
Will. And did your daughter talk with you about Zoom? And I know I'm probably gonna hear it, but did she talk with you about it?
About what?
Video, being able to do video on the computer with you.
I think she mentioned something like that, but that's too complicated for me. I'd probably learn it, but when I'd wake up and following morning, I'd probably have forgotten most of it. So thanks anyway, Chad, but that's going way beyond my scope of work. I'm able to do K1CJW.
Well, I appreciate you just considering it, but anyway. All right, is anybody else out there that wants to talk a little bit? If not, I'm on say 73. Any one last call?
W4DJW. Hey, Andy was talking about what we do at field day. I've got some information if you still need it on how we handle that so it doesn't happen to you guys what happened to Roland.
You want to email it? You want to call or how you want to handle it? Cause
so it's not too complicated. And it might sound a little expensive, but what happened to Roland is more expensive. There's two types of filters. You just need to write them down. A deep notch filter and a band pass filter. Okay, so the band pass filter assumes no two stations are going to operate on the same band at the same time. Because what happens is, even though you're not on the same band, you're so close to each other, you can desensitize the other receiver. Like if somebody's on 40 and somebody else is on 20, oftentimes if somebody's sending CW heavy, like at 100 watts on 40, then the CW operator, or then the phone operators that might be on 20 is driving them crazy. Right? And it could mess up the radio. Now, most radios nowadays, most of the newer, nicer radios, they can sense that. And what they'll do is desensitize the receiver. In other words, they put their hands over their ears and they say, I'm not listening. And the consequence of that is you don't hear the stations out there calling CQ while the guy on the other band is sending, hammering out 100 watts. That protects the radio, but it makes you think that there's something wrong with your receiver. There's nothing wrong with it. You need a band pass filter because you're so close together, you're getting that third order harmonic off of that other transmitter, because think of it like a big fuzzy ball of RF within 100 feet to 200 feet or 300 feet of that transmitter that's hammering out CW at 100 watts. It's a big fuzzy ball of RF. It doesn't matter what frequency it's on. It's kind of like a spark gap generator. It's always there. Let me let up for a second so I don't time out the repeater. So you got to use what's called a band pass filter in that situation. They're kind of expensive. They're a couple hundred dollars a piece. The club has one for every band that we operate on. And if you're going to be on 20 meters, then you put a bandpass filter on your radio. So that third order harmonic that goes out of your transmitter, it can't pass that bandpass filter. And it can't get to those other guys on 40 meters. So you're filtering what you're sending out with a bandpass filter. And consequences, you're filtering in, too. You can't hear that the other guy down there on 40 as he's hammering out 100 watts of CW. So that's the first thing. You look them up. They're on DX Engineering. You can order them. Club's got some, but they're not cheap. The other thing is a deep notch filter. And that's if two of you are going to operate on the same band. Right, then you need, within that band, you need to pick a deep notch filter for the frequency that you're going to be on. And that limits, that's what the duplexer up there on the mountain does that we're using right now. It's a deep notch filter. It means I'm transmitting to it on 01, and it's transmitting out on 61. Those are so close together, and they're on the same band, that you would think one would desensitize the other, but it's not, because the input is deep notch filtered. Meaning, I don't listen to anything that doesn't come on 146.010. Everything else is filtered out. Those are much more expensive than the expensive bandpass filters. But that's the two things you need to protect your radios, especially if you've got older radios. Older radios are more susceptible to that than newer radios. Newer radios will just put their hands over their ears and say, I'm sorry, guys, I'm not listening to that. That's too much noise. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, not sure what I'm going to do about that, I guess, but we'll figure something out. But I appreciate the info anyway.
All right, W4DJW, keep it legal. Yeah, anyway, if there's anything else we can do to help, let us know. It's kind of a complicated subject, but good thing that Andy brought it up, because, yes, you can destroy a radio if you're not careful. W4DJW, going back to listen mode.
All right, I appreciate it, fellas, but I'm showing my tired, so I'm going to say 7.3s, but y'all continue on. Walt, if you listen, hey, good luck tomorrow. We're praying for you. KO4NUE, and I'm clear.
Bye. It was great talking to you. Hey, Walt, if you're still out there, I wanted to say thank you. I love the Rack Twos. I love kind of hearing and picking people's brains and just hearing what's going on and learning a lot about the antennas and the radios from you guys. And so I enjoyed always hearing Andy and Larry and Roland and all these other guys, and I appreciate it.
Roland verified what I've always thought. I haven't really been the one KI4LZI to set up a lot of the field day stuff, but as Dave was talking about, I've heard others talk about such matters as that. And then I've seen it here in the MFJ catalogs about those filters for just a situation like that. You've got to be real careful. Real careful. And I didn't know that they had protection ways in the newer ones, but you sure can really goof something up in the receiver one if you don't play it real, real carefully how you do it. KI4LZI.
Okay. Have a good night. 7.3s to you. And I'm mostly interested in at least seeing and hearing about the antennas and kind of learning from that. So I'll probably try to give you a call tomorrow. 7.3s, and everyone have a good night.
Y'all later. Like I said, there's a lot to learn. We all got plenty still to learn, but I'd hate for someone to mess up a radio, though, because over something like that is... Roland just pointed out he encountered that one time, and that can be very, very costly if it costs you a radio compared to maybe a $40 or $50 or $60 filter, you know, to protect it. KI4LZI.
For that information, I'm glad you brought it up, and Again, I don't know what I don't know, so I'm glad you're helping teach. All right, have a good night.
If you're interested, MFJ's website is mfjenterprises.com. J-I-4-L-Z-I.
That website again?
Mike Foxtrot Juliet Echo November Tango Echo Romeo Papa Romeo India Sierra Echo Sierra MFJEnterprises.com. Or you can get them, as Dave said, while go from others, but where I was seeing them, it was in some of the old MFJ catalogs I got, and they mentioned in some of them just that some of that was just four-type setups like y'all were talking about. KI4LZI.
Thank you so much. KI4DTY, clear.
FZI, clear.